shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy.
The Lord Jesus. Why don't we just give the Lord a clap of praise this afternoon? Amen. Is he worthy? He brought you to church. Amen. So you got something to thank him for if you didn't have something to thank him for before then, right? Amen. Thank God for his mercy and his grace in this hour. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Appreciate Brother Dale and just the confidence and the invitation he gave. Amen. So I just appreciate that and appreciate each and every one of you, amen, that made it out today to come to the house of the Lord. Amen. And I know that you don't come to see me or come to see a man. That's not your desire. I believe that you want to hear about the word, amen. Glory. And it's not just for us to hear, amen, but let that word sink in our hearts, amen, glory, so that we can be more like Christ, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. I appreciate your prayers as we were out this past Sunday. We were ministering at Brother Burley's church. Brother Burley, he's in Africa, and so he asked me the week before if I could take his service, and we had a good time there. And I ministered to them on that series that I preached last year here about the kingdom of God, the mystery of the kingdom of God, and I used the same PowerPoint presentation, and you could see. You can tell how the people are so hungering for the word.
Right.
They're really, really, really hungering for the word. They were so enthused about after that service that they said, Brother Luis, could we have those notes? Could you give us that PowerPoint presentation? Could you get, several people asked me for the copy of that. Cause it's so. I even had one of them tell me, he hasn't come, you know, he came from Pentecostalism, and came to the message not too long ago. But he said, Brother Luis, I'm getting to a point now where I feel like I need more teaching. I need more grounding.
Amen.
And, he said, this is a breath of fresh air to me. So,
Amen.
God knows what he's doing, and, So we just thank God for that. Amen. And I appreciate all of your prayers and thank God for using Brother Wade as well, because he's kind of shared some of the same things with me while he was gone this past weekend. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. So let's just go to the word. Amen. We're just going to read this one verse and then I'll have you be seated in Zechariah chapter 4 verse 7. Very familiar scripture to us. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 7. Yep. Amen. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, not just grace.
That's right.
Right.
Double grace.
Amen.
Like Jesus said, verily, verily,
amen.
Right. I say unto you, amen.
Amen.
Grace, grace unto it.
Amen.
Amen. I find that very interesting regarding the what we're going to talk about. I want to be speaking about the 11th hour of grace. Amen. In this hour. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you that we have the privilege to even open back the pages of your word. But Lord God, we know, Heavenly Father, that we're part of you, Lord. So Father God, this is part of us, Lord. For you said, Lord, if my word abides in you and you abide in me, Lord God, then that's what we will, Father. So, Lord God, we ask that you now, Lord, take full control, Lord, of the service. Lord, you take full control of my lips, Lord, that I may just say something, Lord, to help somebody, Lord. Maybe they may not get everything, but Lord God, I believe that you can reveal it unto them, Lord, in due time. Even at this moment, you can do so, Father. Because I can't give no one a revelation, but you can, Lord Jesus. So I pray now that you would just bless your people. Meet every need amongst us. And Father God, even those that are out, Lord, bless them, Lord, where they're at this moment. The sick ones, Lord God, be with them, Lord, we pray. We commit this time into your hands now and ask you these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. We've all heard about the 11th hour and the 11th hour workers. And we're going to get to that scripture here in just a moment, that parable where Jesus was talking about. It was actually the parable of the laborers in the vineyard.
Right.
Amen. And so, and it's very interesting, you know, because we only really grasp one verse of that parable, and that's the 11th hour worker, right? We are those 11th hour workers. There's many types in there. One of them being that we are those 11th hour workers in this hour. Amen. We should be working to build up the kingdom of God in this hour. Amen. And so there's so much to do and so much and so little time. Amen. How many feel that way? Amen. But you know what, saints? God has made us laborers in his vineyard. And he's invited us, amen, to go work in his vineyard. And not to stay idle, not to be idle in this hour. Amen. Because, saints, there's so much to do in this hour. So, but before we get there, I wanted to show you guys something to just kind of perk up your interest. And so if the brothers in the back, they got a few pictures that I want to show. But very interesting regarding the number 11, and I'm just going to read this right here for you. It says, in numerology, the number 11 is considered the master number. The reason is this number carries a vibrational frequency of balance. Number 11 signifies invention, refinement, fulfillment, vision, and congruence in a person. Amen. So you're reading it right there. And you can read the astrology part of it as well. But the number 11 has very interesting meanings. One of the meanings is that there are 111 days from the time that it's September 11th to December 31st, if you didn't know that. All right. Very interesting, because then you got the end of the year. Right. And we are at the end time. Right. It took, going back to 9/11, which we're about to come to an anniversary here, but it took 11 years to build the World Trade Center.
Yep, that's right. Yeah.
From 1966, when it started to be built, and to 1977 when it was completed. Right. So you can see there, it took 11 years to build the World Trade Center. The sunspot cycle, or the solar cycle, lasts for 11 years. Some of you may already know this, but if you don't know, well, that's another wrinkle in your brain. September 11th is the 254th day of the year. And so if you take those numbers, 2 plus 5 plus 4 equals 11. The World Trade Center resembled the number 11, as you see there. New York, where the World Trade Center resided, is the 11th state in the Constitution. For those of you who like sports, in many popular sports around the world, such as American football, cricket, field hockey, and soccer, there are 11 players in each team. The flag of Canada, my wife might like this, the flag of Canada features a maple leaf having 11 points. That's very interesting. Now, for those of you who might know what these movies are, the most Oscar awards for any movie is 11. The feat was achieved by Ben-Hur in 1959. Great movie, by the way. Titanic in 1997. And I thought it was interesting that the Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King, in 2003. Kind of interesting that The Return of the King. Amen. We all know this one because Brother Branham mentioned that World War One ended on the 11th day of the 11th month in the 11th hour. I don't think that's coincidence. Amen. And of course, World War II is usually displayed as World War II, but that's 1 + 1, which is 11. You see? So there are many other things. You know, I just wanted to add a couple of wrinkles there to your brain. Just kind of perk your interest. But there's a lot of significance in the number 11, right? So it's very interesting that God, amen, when Jesus was talking about this parable that we're about to read here in Matthew chapter 20, he talks about the 11th hour workers. All right? Amen. So if we read here when before you start reading Matthew chapter 20, if you start reading Matthew chapter 20, you have to get the context of why Jesus was given that parable. And you really can't get the context of why Jesus was talking about that parable about the laborers working in the vineyard unless you read Matthew chapter 19. In the last 3 to 4 verses. And in those last 3 to 4 verses, and I believe it's in Matthew 19:27, Peter tells Jesus, and he tells him this. He said, Master, we've left everything. We've given up everything to follow you. What are we going to receive? That's very interesting. He asked that question because to me, that's kind of like the attitude that some of us take. That you think that you're going to get closer to God by how many brownie points you have. or what you've done, amen, or what you can do. But you know what, saints? God is not interested about what you can do, or what you have done, or what you are even doing now, amen. Because this whole thing is about the mercy and the grace of God, amen. You were never seeking God, amen. It was always Christ seeking you, amen. Because, you know, saints, I just don't, some of you who were out and lived in the world and things like that, I mean, I'm sure you, when I was partying, I wasn't thinking about God. I was thinking about satisfying the flesh. Amen. And doing the things of the world. So it wasn't, you were never seeking God. It was always Christ seeking you. Amen. So sometimes we think, amen, that there's something that we can do to get closer to God. And we get this, maybe this Catholic mentality. That there's some, maybe if I can stay 15 extra minutes on my knees. Maybe pray as I'm walking around on my knees. Yeah, man, the whole house and praying like this. The whole place. Maybe I can get some merit from God. But you know what, saints? There's nothing that you can do to merit the grace, amen, and salvation and the Holy Spirit, amen. The only thing he asks of you, amen, is to believe his word. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Peter took this attitude that there's something that they did because we left our family, we left everything to follow you. What do you have in store for us, Jesus? What do you have in store for us? Amen. And of course, Jesus, he replies to them there in the next few verses and he tells them, verily, of course, yeah, if you give up the world and if you give up your family, your parents, your brothers and your sisters for my sake to follow me, yeah, you're going to be rewarded. He tells them that you shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life or eternal life. Of course. But it is not because of the fact that they gave up those things.
Right,
amen. You see? That they're going to inherit eternal life.
Right.
And then that's when he goes, in the next chapter, before he says, for many, in verse 30 there, Matthew 19:30, but many that are first shall be last and the last shall be first.
Right,
then he goes on in chapter 20 and starts talking about this parable. And so what we're going to do is we want to take we'll just try to go at it verse by verse and we'll just see how the Lord leads. Amen.
Amen.
I have so much content here. So I would appreciate if you try to just pay attention. Amen. I know it's Wednesday night, but I believe God has something in store for us. Amen. Just try to pay attention. Try not to fall asleep. And if you fall asleep, then shake yourself.
Amen.
Amen. In Matthew 20 verse 1, it says, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. Amen. I want you to notice that in that verse that a distinction is made between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of earth. Amen. This parable that Jesus is about to talk about is gonna talk about is the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God or the kingdom as the scripture calls it at times. This has nothing to do with the kingdom of the world, of this earth. This is all about the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Praise God. And one of the characteristics of this kingdom of heaven is that the hired, the householder here, the owner of the vineyard, went out looking for servants to hire.
Right.
You see? So that's the reason why the servants were not looking for him.
Right.
It's Christ seeking the servants. Amen. It was Christ seeking you. Amen. It's not you seeking God. You see? Praise the Lord. In John 4:23, it says, Jesus said, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him.
Right.
Amen. Christ is always seeking. Amen. Because saints, let me tell you what. In John 3:16, he says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. Amen. God's given the whole world the opportunity. But God also knows, and he says it in another scripture, that Christ died for many. So really, it's not everybody that's going to accept him, but God offers and brings and gives the offering to everybody. Come and receive. Amen. That's the reason, saints, why we should be careful about looking down on people.
Right.
You don't have a right to look down on somebody just because they're wearing earrings or because they don't look just like you.
Right.
You don't know that person 3, 4, 5, 10 years down the road will probably be a whole lot better off than probably what you are at that moment thinking that way.
Right.
You just don't know.
Right.
And saints, we have to think that the grace of God is more than what you think it is.
Right.
We think that the grace of God just encapsulates the way God dealt with us, but that the way he dealt with us, he can't deal with a drunker or the rock star out there. He can't deal with the man that's heavy on drugs, with the Pablo Escobars out there. He can't deal with none of them. But I'm here to tell you, saints, that he can.
Amen.
And that he has.
Amen.
And that he's still, amen, saving, amen, in this hour. So there's no case that is lost, amen. He can't lose no one that's his. Amen. Praise God. We know that there's some that are part of the bride and some that are part of the church, amen. But still, it's all God's grace. It's not anybody else. It's not Satan's grace. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, in John 6:44, the Bible also says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him.
Right.
So you can't come to Christ unless he draws you.
Amen.
Unless he's pulling you.
Amen.
Amen. Unless he's pulling, amen, you, amen, closer to him. Now, how does he pull you? Through his word.
Right.
Amen. He pulls you through his word. Amen. You have to hear the word first in order for you to grow closer to Christ.
Amen.
You just didn't come one day to church, wake up one day and say, I'm just going to go to church. And there at church, I'm going to get saved. No, it didn't happen that way. Amen. Maybe it has before, but you know what? For the majority of us, it probably never has happened that way. Amen. You, for some way, somehow, somebody needed to talk to you.
Amen.
Somebody needed to say something. You needed to pick up a tract. You needed to open the Bible there in that hotel room where you were doing whatever in that hotel room. You opened up the Bible and you saw that in John 3:16 where it said, for God so loved the world, God so loved me.
Amen.
That he gave his only begotten son. Amen.
Amen.
So the word had to draw you at some point in time.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. I'm just going to bring this over here so I don't have to go back. Amen.
Amen.
Now, And in John 6:65, he says, "And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except if it were given unto him of my Father." Amen. Praise God. So you don't have permission to go into the Lord's vineyard. Amen. Without first him calling you.
Right.
Amen. You really wouldn't want to. You really don't want to because you're not seeking to go into the vineyard. How many understand what I'm saying? Amen. You're not looking for God. He's always looking for you. Amen. Praise God. Now, these men that the labor, that the owner of the vineyard was hiring, they wanted to work. I mean, they were waiting, but they didn't know who it was that they were going to go to. Amen. They wanted to be hired. And we know that this householder is Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now in verse 2, it says, "And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard." Amen. Now you notice how the owner of the vineyard, he had to make an agreement with them for this penny a day. Whatever, how much that was worth back then. Up there, a penny a day here, and this, oh my goodness. You're below the poverty line for a penny a day. So we know it's not talking about 1 cent, a penny, that like, but it's another type of money, amen, that they had back then. We know that these laborers, they represent Christians, amen. We are Christians, amen. And the Lord of the vineyard, he had to bargain with them in order to get them to work. Amen. "I'll give you a penny if you come and labor with me here in this vineyard." So they agreed and they went to go work for him, right? Amen. Now this penny, saints, to me, it represents the token, the Holy Ghost, eternal life. Amen. That's what it represents. Amen. Praise the Lord. Which is directly what Jesus said in Matthew 19:29, which we would just read. They said that, "And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life." So these laborers, amen, they gave up what they were doing for that day to go work for the Father, or go work for this man, right? Which represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, in order for you to be a candidate of any of God's benefits, you must agree with the Word of God first. Amen. You have to agree with the Word. Amen. In order for you have to believe, you have to agree that Holy Ghost is for me in order for you to get the Holy Ghost. You have to agree and believe that healing is for you in order for you to get healing, right? You have to believe, amen, that the promises of God are for you and that they're yea and amen if you want to receive any of its benefits. So that's the same thing. These laborers, they had to agree with the owner of the vineyard in order to get to work in the vineyard. We agree with you, so that's the reason why we're going to work for you. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. That's the reason, saints, why many, they want Christ. And they want Christ as their Savior. But as you've heard a lot many times before, but they don't want Him as their Lord. Everybody wants Christ to save them. Oh, Christ. Oh, Jesus, save my soul. Save me. And He'll save you. But then when it comes time to giving up things in life, giving up your pride, giving up your filthy mouth, giving up cigarettes, giving up video games so that you can spend more time with God. That was one of the things I had to give up. Video games. Because why? I saw that these things were not drawing me closer to God. So I gave up these things. Now, you know, picked them back up a few years later, but, you know, but I mean, you know, again, there's nothing wrong with the video game, nothing wrong with those things, only if you let those things take over your life. Take over your marriage, take over your spending time with your family, bringing them to church. That's when it's wrong. That's when it's become a problem. Amen. And then it can be fill in the blank. Video games, whatever it is for you. Amen. Praise God. Because my battle isn't your battle and your battle isn't my battle. Amen. We all struggle with different things. Amen. But amen. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. So these men now, it says here that in the last part of that verse, he sent them unto his vineyard. Amen. So now that they agreed with the master of the vineyard, he went ahead and sent them to the vineyard. You see? Now it reminded me of that scripture in the Bible where Jesus tells Peter, and he says, in Luke 22 verse 31, it says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you." Ah, man, isn't it awesome that Jesus could pray for us? You know, this week, or it was last week, we had a devotional with the girls, and I told them, we started the devotional. I said, "Hey, do you know that Jesus Christ prayed for you? Do you want to read the prayer that he made for you?" You know, and they probably had never thought of it that way. But Christ, there's a scripture in the Bible, there's a whole chapter dedicated to Christ's prayer for you.
Right.
In John chapter 16 or 17. Amen.
Yes, amen.
And so here, Jesus told Peter, "Hey, I'm praying for you, Peter."
Right.
Amen. Wouldn't you just love to have that?
Yeah.
Right. Amen. And he already did, though.
Amen.
That's the thing.
Right.
He's already prayed for you. Just read John 17 and you'll see.
Right.
And all you got to do is just put your name wherever he says thee, or wherever he says them, just put your name in there. And that's the prayer. He prayed for you. If we had time, we'd read the whole chapter, man, because that's a good chapter. But he says, "I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, then strengthen thy brethren." Amen. When you have been convinced, when these laborers were convinced that this master is right, I'm going to get a penny, eternal life, so that I could go work. Amen. I'll be working in this vineyard. Amen.
Yep.
Then I can go ahead and strengthen my brethren. Amen.
Right, amen.
It's when you receive Christ, amen, the Holy Ghost will put you in action. Amen. Amen.
Glory.
That eternal life will put you in action to go do something. Amen.
Right, amen.
Not to stand idle. Not to say, well, like Brother Dale has said before, we're just going to sit back and wait for the train to come by. No. These laborers were put to work.
Amen.
Right. These laborers had something to do. Amen.
Right, amen.
That's the reason why they got eternal life. Amen. To go work. Amen.
Amen. That's right, huh?
And God is expecting for us to do something in this hour. Amen.
Right. That's right,
not just to sit around and wait.
Right. True.
Amen. There's something that you and I must fulfill.
Amen.
You and I need to find out, what is it, Lord, that I need to do in this hour?
Amen.
Lord, what is it that maybe you're just to be a good farmer? Or maybe you're just a good, that's fine. But Lord, even with my farming tools or with my farming trade, what is it that I can use this event for your glory and for your honor?
Right.
Maybe as I'm working with somebody in the field, I can bring somebody to Christ.
Amen.
I don't know.
Right.
But saints, we were put here to serve him.
Amen.
And to serve others.
Exactly.
Amen. Not just to serve our pockets.
Right.
Not just to fill our pockets and our bank accounts. Amen.
Right.
Because all that's going to perish.
Yeah.
All that's going to go away.
Amen.
As it's been said before, you have never seen a cart, a hearse. Is it a hearse?
Yeah.
Pulling a U-Haul truck.
Right.
I've never seen that.
Right.
Out in the streets. I've only seen the hearse and then several cars, when sometimes it's be like 30 minutes worth of cars that you're waiting because of family members, you know. But there's no money. No money. I've never seen it. No belongings. You know, the Egyptians back then, they thought they could be buried with their belongings and their money. And they're just as much dust as anybody else has died. The dust never went over there and grabbed a couple of cents, you know, to do what?
No.
I know that sounds silly, but sometimes we think silly.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's why God said, amen, let this mind of Christ be in you.
Right.
When the mind of Christ is in you, then your priorities are going to be different.
Right.
Your mindset is going to change regarding the way you live life and the way you think about others and the way you even treat others.
Right.
Now your priority is, what can I do for you, Lord? How can I be of service to my people, to the brethren, to the people out here, so that you can be glorified, Lord Jesus? Amen. Praise the Lord. Because you can only truly serve Christ when you've really gotten an experience with Christ. And I'll just read just a few of these verses in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Amen. See, these laborers were called. And they were, and because they were called, they went to work. See, you have to be called. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I appreciate the brothers pulling the scriptures up. 2 Thessalonians 2:13-14 says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many want to obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Well, the Bible says that he's called, he's already justified. And who he's already justified, he's already sanctified. And who he's sanctified, he's already glorified. Amen. And in the mind of God, it's already been done. And I know we're waiting for the manifestation of it. That's why you got to keep eating. That's why you got to keep drinking. That's why you got to keep feeding and keep laboring. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 9:15 says, and for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. 1 Peter 2:9-10, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people. You're not like the world. So you don't need to look like the world, because you're peculiar. Amen. As far as what God has given you.
Amen.
Amen. The world doesn't have that.
Right.
And it's going to manifest on the outside that God has given to you. Right. Amen. Right. On the inside, you see? If God's given you eternal life, if he's given you this token, amen, then it's going to manifest on the outside.
Right.
The other people will see this token on display.
They will. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. A royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Amen.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Now, here in verse 3, we continue here with the parable. So these laborers, they agreed with the master to work for a penny, and they went out to work. And he went out about the third hour. Now, who is the he? This is the master of the vineyard. He went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. So now the third hour, if you look at the Jewish, the time, the third hour would be around 9 a.m. Somewhere around that time. And the Lord of the vineyard, even at this time, because he hired the first set of laborers around 6 a.m. to start working. Now it's 9 a.m. Now he's going to hire some more. Amen. The Lord of the vineyard, he's still looking for laborers. Amen.
Right,
he hasn't stopped seeking. He knows that there's people out there that are his.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that he didn't stop seeking you?
Right.
What if he said, well, it's 9 a.m. I already got everybody that I need, you know.
Yeah.
I already got it. No. He has attributes that were part of him that he knew before the foundation of the world in the back of his mind. That you are part of that, you are one of those attributes, amen, that had to come here on earth to manifest him. Amen. So he's not going to lose not one. And these attributes all make up the body of the body of Christ, which is the bride, amen, the bride in this hour. Praise the Lord. In verse 4 it says, and he said unto them, when he went out to those there at 9 a.m., and he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. Now, you notice the wording here. Here is different than the wording from the first first set.
Amen.
The first ones that he had asked around 6 in the morning, he bargained with them and told them, hey, you work for me for a penny? All right. But here, he's telling you, go to the vineyard. And whatsoever is right. In other words, whatsoever is fair, I'm going to pay you. So if you think about the laborers, you know, these laborers were standing around idle, you know, they were not doing anything. They were just standing around, you know, waiting for somebody to come hire them. So, you know, being that it's 9 a.m., they probably think, well, hey, I'm sure he's going to give us something fair, you know, fair, you know, it's 9 a.m., so let's just go and work. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so he didn't tell them how much they were going to get paid. He just told them that they were going to get paid. Go, whatever is right, that's what I'll pay you. Amen. These laborers, they had confidence in him that they were, he was going to pay them a fair pay. Amen. Then in verse 5, again, he went out about the 6th and 9th hour and did likewise. In other words, he did the exact same thing at 12 p.m. and at 3 p.m. that day. Now it's getting hot. You know, around 12, 1 p.m., my goodness, man, it's scorching outside. I can't wait for cool weather. Man. And so here is that time. And he's still looking for laborers to go work. Amen. As they say, the heat is on. Amen. But you know what, saints? Things can get hot and things can get pretty hard and tough. Amen. But there's nothing that God can't do. Amen. There's nothing that Christ, amen, it's not too tough, that too tough for him that he can't do, or that he can't handle. Amen. He still, amen, expects, he knows that you can do all things through him who strengthens you. Amen? No matter how hot it is, no matter how the situation looks bleak, looks scorching. Amen. He said that all, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen. Now that's a promise that he made. And if we believe that promise, he'll fulfill it through our lives. Amen. And about the 11th hour, in verse 6, about the 11th hour, he went out. Now, this 11th hour, this is 5 p.m. now. Sun's about to go down. It's the evening time. Amen? And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle?
Right.
Now, you notice now that he even treated these on the 11th hour differently than even the ones at the 12 p.m. and the 3 p.m. hours. Because now he's asking them a question. Why are you standing here idle? In other words, it's almost the end of the day. It's almost time for everybody, for the whistle to blow and to go home. Why are you sitting here standing, not doing anything? That's why he's asking him the question. Weren't you supposed to be working all day? Here at 6 p.m., we stopped working because that was around 5 p.m., the 11th hour for them. And the Jewish time was around 5 p.m., 6 p.m. You know, it was everything's, you know, they sleep during that time. Amen. It was getting dark. Everything stops. Why are you standing here idle? And saints, I'd like to think that Christ is asking some of us that same question.
Right.
Us, the 11th hour workers, we're supposed to be the 11th hour workers. Why are we standing around waiting on the bus? Why? You can hear a pin drop. On this carpet. Saints, I have to ask myself the same question. What are we doing in this late hour that we're living in, saints? What is it that you are doing? Amen. The day is far spent. The hour is late. We know the coming of the Lord is soon at hand. We know the end time is here. What are we doing about that? Oh, I'm just going to play more video games. I'm just going to go watch more TV. I'm just going to go get involved in more things and more money-making schemes and more business things that take you away from God. Not knocking none of those things. They have their place. But what are you doing, amen, to remember, this all has to do about lifting the kingdom of heaven up.
Right.
What are you doing about lifting the kingdom of heaven up?
Right.
Or are you just worried about yourself?
Right.
Or are you worried only about what you can get out of this life?
Oh, yeah. Right. That's right.
Because let me tell you, saints, that is not the spirit of Christ.
No, that's right, amen.
What are you doing in this late hour? Amen. You see, it was 5 p.m. The day was almost gone and they had only 1 hour left.
Yep. Right.
And of course, do you see, the master was surprised to see them standing. Amen.
Yeah.
So what, ask that question, what part am I playing in the body of Christ?
Right.
Now you really can't play a part if you don't have the Holy Spirit.
Right.
It's simple as that.
Right.
If this word is not a reality to you, saints.
Amen. Yeah.
If it hasn't become a reality, a revelation to you that has sunken down and you're anchored in this word and nothing can move you, then you can't really play a role in the body.
No. Right. Amen. Right.
We want you to be around.
Sure.
I'm not saying, you know, here at the church, but I'm just saying Christ wants you to be around.
Amen.
Amen. Christ wants you to hear His word. Christ wants you to pay attention to what's going on. Amen. But sometimes we get in the way of Him doing something in our lives.
Right.
You know, when sometimes we tell our kids, you know, to do something in the house or clean the house or do something or we're all cleaning the house together, right? And sometimes it's almost as if better they just go over and sit over there, because it's almost like they're just getting in the way of you doing what you're supposed to do. Because they're just standing there and you tell them, go do this, go do that, go do that. And they just stand there. Amen. But you see, we want to make sure, amen, that we're not standing, amen. We're just sitting idle, amen. What are you doing? What are you doing for Christ in this hour?
Glory.
Praise the Lord. So here we continue reading verse 7. And this is the answer that the 11th hour workers gave him. They say unto him, because no man hath hired us.
Right.
See, the intention of these men, they wanted to be hired. Amen. But nobody would hire them. They waited all day long and nobody hired them. Praise God. Amen. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. Now, he didn't bargain with them for a penny. He just told them the same thing he told the previous ones. Whatsoever is right, that's what I'll give you. So to go work for 1 hour, my goodness, it's almost time to go home. It's almost time to go ahead and just clock out, you know? But really, they weren't working, so there was nothing to clock out.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Still, even at this late hour, this laborer, this owner of this vineyard wanted them to go work.
Right.
Amen. It doesn't matter the day is far spent, there's still something for us to do in this hour.
Amen.
Amen. You know, Brother Branham said, I always remember what Brother Branham said. He said, you know, work as if Christ is coming in 1,000 years, but live as if He's coming tomorrow.
Right.
Amen.
Exactly. Amen. That's right.
Do what you need to do in your physical life.
Right.
Amen. Save up. Do whatever it needs to be done. Amen. There's nothing wrong with those things.
Nope.
But live, amen, as if He's coming tomorrow.
Right.
Amen. Amen. As if this thing culminates tomorrow at 6 a.m. or at 9 a.m. Amen? Because saints, you don't know the day and the hour. Amen? And you don't know the time when may be your time. Amen. Your time to go. We're not assured of this life. This life isn't given to us with an assurance. Our life is fragile. Amen. And you may not make it down those stairs tonight.
Right.
You know? Something could happen.
Right.
Amen. But He's in our life is in His hands. Amen.
Right.
Praise God. That's what we put our trust in Him.
Amen. That's right,
So these laborers, these 11th hour workers, they gladly accepted the offer. No questions asked. They didn't ask him any questions. They just, okay, that's fine. We'll go work. Because it was better to start working in the 11th hour than to not work at all.
Right.
It was better to do something even in that late of the hour than to not do anything at all.
Right.
Amen. So moving on here, it says, so when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward. Now you notice that it says there the evening time came.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. And the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, amen. Who is that steward? The Holy Ghost. Amen. Call the laborers and give them their hire. In other words, give them what they're owed, the pay.
Right.
But look at what he says. He says, beginning from the last unto the first.
Right.
Amen. Now, we think that it should be the other way around because, you know, give the ones that started working first, give them the pay.
Yeah.
Amen. And then at the last, you know, the last ones that came in the 11th hour, then they get paid last.
Right. Right. Yeah.
But this laborer, this owner of this vineyard wanted the last ones that came in to get paid first.
Right.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Now, in John 9:4, it says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Amen. So this is the time. Amen. They couldn't work anymore.
Amen.
And it was evening time. No, they couldn't work anymore. Amen. So here we see that the laborers, they were going to get paid. Now, if we continue reading here in verse 9, it says, and when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny.
Right. Exactly.
It was the exact same pay that the first ones, amen, that were hired were bargained with the owner of the vineyard to get paid. These 11th hour workers got the same pay. Now we all know this, saints. But here,
right.
what's interesting is that if you think, if you're one of these laborers, if you're one of these workers, what do you think, amen, that here you're going to work and you're probably thinking, well, you know, I'm going to get paid only for just working 1 hour. But here, when you're getting your pay, you're getting the exact same pay that the other ones are getting.
Exactly.
How do you think you're going to feel, amen, as the laborer that only worked for 1 hour?
Yeah.
As that 11th hour worker, how do you think you'd feel? What do you think that you'd think about that master, that owner of that vineyard?
Right,
oh my goodness.
Good guy.
Yeah.
Good guy.
That's a good guy, man. I'd love to work for him. I'd love to continue working for him.
Amen.
My goodness, I only worked for 1 hour and here he's paying me the exact same thing that he paid the others that have labored the whole day.
Yeah, that's right, man.
My goodness. And you know what? You're so excited about it and you're so happy about it, you probably go and tell the others. Tell other people about it. Amen. My goodness. God gave me this eternal life. Amen. God gave me this grace. Amen. This pay that he gave me. Amen. And in this late hour. Amen. He's still filling with the Holy Ghost. Amen. He's still doing great things in our lives. Amen. He's still doing mighty things. Amen. It wasn't just for back then. It wasn't just for the time when Brother Branham was here. Amen. God is doing great things in this hour. God is doing great things in your day.
Amen.
God is doing awesome things in each and every one of our lives.
Amen.
And sometimes we overlook that pay or the benefits of serving Christ.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. We overlook, amen. I woke up this morning feeling fine.
Amen.
I woke up with heaven on my mind. I hope so.
Right.
You didn't wake up with hell on your mind.
Yeah.
Because if you wake up with hell in your mind, you're going to manifest hell.
Yep, right.
Amen. But God has given you such great things in this hour. Amen.
Right.
So these laborers, I'm sure they were excited. They were happy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Each servant needed to be paid at the end of the same day they worked because, see, they needed it. Now, if you read, I just want to read this here in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 14 through 15, if they could bring that up, if they have it up. This is the law that was given to them back then. It says, thou shalt not oppress an hired servant that is poor and needy. You see, so these laborers, they were needy. They needed to work. They needed to be hired. Whether he be of thy brethren or of thy strangers that are in thy land within thy gates. At his day, thou shalt give him his hire. In other words, at the end of the day, you're going to pay him. So Jesus is bringing this parable, amen, incorporating this in, you know, going back to what this says. At his day, thou shalt give him his hire, neither shall the sun go down upon it. In other words, the day's not going to be over and you're not going to pay this man. Because back then, they would get paid the same day that they worked. So today, nowadays, we work and we get paid maybe bi-weekly, every 2 weeks, or every week, or every month. I get paid every month. But it's just something you get used to. You have to budget your very wisely. Neither shall the sun go down upon it, for he is poor. Look, this laborer is poor and setteth his heart upon it. In other words, he's waiting for it.
Amen.
You see, saints?
Amen.
He's waiting for this pay. Amen. He's working. His desire, amen, is for this pay. Amen. At the end time. Amen. And you have something that you desire in this hour, saints. Amen. Your hope is in Christ. Amen. You know, amen. You keep walking. Amen. You keep serving the Lord. You keep struggling. You keep fighting. Amen. You keep laboring. You keep working. But you know that at the end time, amen, it's going to pay off. It's going to be worth it. Praise God. It's going to be worth it. Your heart is set upon it.
Right.
Look what it says. Lest he cry against thee unto the Lord, and it be a sin unto thee. So you see, this owner of this vineyard wasn't going to allow for these men to say, man, this man, he's, goodness gracious, he don't pay. You go work for him and he don't even pay you.
Right.
They weren't going to say that about him.
Right.
And nobody's going to say anything like that about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Amen. About his benefits.
Amen.
You can't say nothing. You can't ever say that God has ever failed you.
That's right.
Never. I can't ever say that.
Right.
I've failed him, but he's never failed me.
Right.
Amen. I failed to do what I'm supposed to do.
Right.
I failed to be involved with what I'm supposed to be involved or do what I'm supposed to do, but he never one time has ever failed me.
That's right.
Amen. His mercies are great.
Amen.
They keep, they're abounding. Amen.
Amen.
He has never failed me yet.
Right,
and I don't think he'll ever fail me.
Right.
I'll probably fail him many other times.
Right.
I don't want to.
Right.
Amen. But that's why his mercy and grace is there.
Amen. Right.
Amen. Now we're getting to a point here, saints. I appreciate you listening so intently. So you see, saints, that grace is the main theme of the Christian life.
Amen.
Yeah. Because those that came in first, or those who come in last, needed it just the same. They all needed that pay just the same. Amen. But it's the amounts. You see, humanly thinking, you'd read this and you'd think, my goodness, the ones that started working at 6 a.m. should get paid more. But that's not what they agreed for. That's not what they agreed with the master of the vineyard. They agreed for one penny. And then the other ones that came in, well, they're like, well, it's better than, you know, standing around. So we're just going to work for a couple of hours. They knew they were going to get something. They just didn't know exactly what. But here, there at the end time, amen.
Amen.
They all get a penny.
Amen.
They all get the same pay.
Yep.
My. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
We don't deserve it,
right.
But we need it.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
We need that grace.
Amen.
We need that pay.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
We need it in this hour.
Amen. Yeah.
My goodness, one of the darkest hours is this hour. Amen.
Right.
Just the angel of the Lord just allowed just a little sliver of light there in that church age. That's for you and me.
Amen.
Darkest hour that we live in. We need
right.
the grace of God.
Right.
My, I need His grace. I don't know about you.
Right.
But when the first came, verse 10, going back to the parable, it says, but when the first came, in other words, the ones that were hired at 6 a.m, they supposed that they should have received more. They saw that the last one, the 11th hour worker, came in and he got the same. What the world? He got paid the same thing I'm supposed to get paid. He's only been working for 1 hour. No, this ain't right. Man. I can't believe this. Man. Goodness. You know, and they were all excited, you know, getting ready to get paid. You know, back then when they used to give out the paychecks at the end of the work day, you know, and you're excited. And then something like that happens. That man getting paid the same thing I'm getting paid. He's making the same that I'm making. He's only been here 6 months. I've been here 6 years.
Yeah.
You know, how many of us work with people like that? They're murmuring and complaining. Amen. You better be glad you got somewhere to work at. Amen. You better be glad that God has given you even the strength to even go to work.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
That's right.
Praise
Amen.
God. See, the things that we take for granted.
Right.
Even the health that God gave you to wake up in the morning so that you can drive in the midst of, and you were able to make it, drive an hour to work through the Atlanta traffic, Brother Bob.
Yeah.
To just go to a train.
Yeah.
To get on a train. And go to the office. That's Brother Bob's commute. And you made it to work. I'm grumbling, complaining for what I'm making. You know what? You should be thinking, there's a reason why I'm here. There's a reason why I'm here. Lord, you brought me here for a reason. One, I need to make money so I can feed my family. Two, somebody needs to hear about Christ today. Or somebody needs to see a good testimony today. Or somebody needs something that I can offer them today. Amen? Praise God. God has you where you're at for a specific reason. Specific reason. Amen. Don't look at it any other way. Amen. So they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. Amen. So here at the end time, and all throughout the church ages, amen, this bride that has been coming up through all the churches is the exact same Holy Ghost.
Amen.
No different Holy Ghost that Luther got than what we got. Amen. There's just more light on the Word now. Thank God for that. And you know, saints, it makes me think, you know, the people back then, they struggled to even be able to have a Bible to read in their language.
Amen. True.
Now we have the Bible, over 1,100 messages, and much more in a device like this that we can carry around.
Right.
And we still don't read the Bible. And we still don't study or listen to the Word, read the message. And those people back then, they struggled. They labored throughout that hot sun.
Yeah,
amen. And here we are. God, amen, still giving us the same pay that they got back then.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God. Because it's the same Holy Spirit.
Yeah, right.
Because it's the same grace. Amen. Praise God. Because saints, we are all equal in the sight of God.
That's right.
Amen. There's no bigger eyes or little U's. Amen. We are all equal in His sight. And when they had received it, verse 11, they murmured against the good man of the house. Amen. How many of us sometimes, amen, we see somebody being blessed. And instead of you being happy for them, You criticize it. My goodness, they're doing something for God. That church over there, they're doing something for the Lord. Oh my. Look, they're holding youth camps over here and they're doing this and that for the other. And instead of us, amen, praying for them, we criticize it. When Jesus told the disciples and he told them and he said, if they're for us, amen, then they're not against us. If they're for spreading the kingdom of God, amen, they're not for against the kingdom of God. So why kick it on the side of the curve and say it's nothing? Amen. If somebody's doing something for God, amen, let's see what we can do to help. Amen. Because maybe in turn that you're helping them. You might be able to help in the cause. You might be able to help even the ones that are working in that area. You see? We could just look at it that way, saints. Amen. They murmured against the good man of the house, saying, verse 12, these last have wrought but 1 hour. In other words, they've worked for 1 hour and you have made them equal unto us. Well, that's what God is in the business of doing. You're not bigger than me and I'm not bigger than you.
Exactly right. Amen.
Amen. We're all equal in the sight of God. We all need Christ just like anybody else needs Christ. Amen. Praise God. Which have borne the burden and heat of the day. Amen. It reminds me of the prodigal son. Remember when the prodigal son, he went out, he took the father's inheritance and he went out and spent it in women and bought a bunch of Xboxes and PS4s and a bunch of Nike shoes and a bunch of all kinds of stuff and just spend it, you know, and didn't even have a budget or anything. Just thought that they could just, you know, he just spend it, you know, and one day he came to a point where he couldn't charge that credit card anymore or that debit card. Because he thought he had infinite funds. He was getting ready to go buy some drinks for his friends there at the bar or wherever he was at. Come to find out, he couldn't. The lady came back and said, listen, I can give you one more drink. That's for you. You can't buy any more drinks. You have no more money. I can't charge the rest of this on your card. But if it was nowadays, they'd still go through because, you know, they want you in debt. So they'd still go through. But back then, you know, he could continue in his riotous living because his money is all gone. Now, so here he goes. So I'm getting off track. But he goes back to his house. His father shows him grace. Right?
Amen.
And here's his brother who didn't do that he did with the money, with his father's money. He stayed at home. He was faithful to God, to his father. He was faithful and he obeyed him. He did everything he was supposed to do. And instead of his brother being excited, just as excited as his father was to see his son come home from living riotously, from living that way, from being in sin and eating with pigs. No, his brother gets upset with him. And his brother gets upset with his own father too. And says, Father, I've been here with you all of this time. I never misspent your money. I never did anything wrong. I was a good boy. And here you are. You're giving my brother a party. you're even giving him gifts, brand new shoes, and a ring in his finger. Goodness gracious. Even a ring. I've never gotten none of those things from you. He's complaining while he still had roof over his head. While he had servants.
Sure.
And he's complaining that he never received none of these gifts, none of these things, and he had servants.
Yep.
People served in that house.
Right.
They served him.
Right.
And he was complaining. Nah. And that's what these people that were complaining against the 11th hour workers, that's what it reminds me of. Amen. Those complainers, always complaining about something. Amen. Well, they're just not doing it exactly the way I like it.
Yeah, right.
Well, get over it.
Yeah,
amen.
Amen.
It's not all about you. Amen. It's about advancing the kingdom. Let's see what we can all do, amen, to advance the kingdom of God. Amen. What can we do, all of us do? We all have a part to play. Amen. You remember when Jesus rebuked John for his intolerance one time? In Mark chapter 9, verse 38. He said, and John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he did not follow us. He doesn't follow us. He doesn't come to our church. He doesn't believe the message. And we forbade him because he followeth not us. We told him to stop because he doesn't believe the message. But Jesus said, forbid him not. In other words, don't tell him to stop. Amen. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is in our part. Is on our part. Amen. Let's not be quick to criticize. Amen. Church next door is having a function. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
People are at church. They're having an opportunity to hear the word of God. At least John 3:16. Hey, it's the word of God. Don't criticize. We all get critical spirits. Amen. And it's something that is... It's an attitude that's lacking grace. Grace is more than you think again. And by you being critical, it brings an attitude that doesn't have grace in it at all. Amen. But he answered one of them, the parable here, almost done. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. I was fair with you. I didn't do you wrong. Didn't you agree with me for a penny? Now, the laborer, the one that started at 6 in the morning, he'd have to say, yes, I did agree with you for a penny. I didn't do you no wrong. Take, verse 14, take that thine is and go your way. Keep going. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Now look what he says, continue. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own?
Amen.
Amen. See, God can do whatever he wants to with what's his.
Amen.
God can save the worst sinner.
Amen.
If he wants to. God can do whatever he wants to, amen. And who are you and I, amen, to say, God, you shouldn't do it this way. You can't do it this way. No, this can't be done this way. That's not up to you to decide. God's the one that decides that. God's a more gracious God than you and I will ever be. You don't understand the grace of God until you really experience the grace of God. And even then, you won't even fully understand it. My. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own?
Right.
Is thine eye evil because I am good?
Right.
See?
Yep.
Are you thinking evil because here I am, I did something good. I gave these 11th hour workers a penny just like you guys got a penny.
Yep.
You should be happy that they received the same that you received.
Right.
In other words, that's what Jesus was trying to tell them.
Right.
You should be happy. But no. Instead, you're not.
Yeah.
My. Right, I want us to think about this and consider our lives.
Yeah. Right.
Consider where we're failing. If we're failing God in those areas. Grumbling and complaining and not happy when somebody's prospering spiritually.
That's right, brother.
Amen. When somebody's prospering spiritually, amen. No matter who it is.
Right.
Amen. We should be excited and happy. Amen.
Amen.
They don't come to church but once a year. Well, praise God, they're here.
Yeah.
Praise God, they're here to hear the word at least one day.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And treat them that way.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
He don't serve the Lord. She don't serve the Lord. Look what they did. They did this, this, and that, or the other. Praise God, they're at church.
Yeah.
Amen. God's in control.
Amen.
God knows about each and every one of our lives.
Amen.
God knows what's best for us.
That's right.
He can't deal with you the same way he deals with her or him.
Nope.
You know? Praise God. I hope you know what I'm talking about.
Amen. Right.
His grace can cover anyone and there is nothing you can say or do about it.
Right.
Because you know what, saints? It's his grace.
Amen.
It's not your grace.
Glory.
If it's your grace, my goodness, it's probably, there's no grace at all.
Amen.
But it's his grace.
Amen.
So he can do whatever he wants to.
Amen. Right.
Amen. It covers a multitude of sins.
Right. Amen.
Amen. You should be glad that he can show others the same grace he's shown to you.
Amen.
Amen. So then in verse 16 it says, so the last shall be first and the first last.
Right.
For many be called, but few chosen.
Right.
Amen. That's the reason, saints, that I believe, saints, in this hour, and I'll just tell you as my personal testimony, but here in the last few years, and I thank God because God had a purpose for us to come here in this church. God had a purpose for you to come here to this church. God knew what I needed spiritually.
Amen.
But in the last few years, I believe God has been revealing more things to me than I ever. I came to the message in 1999. And I'm not saying that it's Brother Dale. Amen. It's the Holy Spirit in the ministry. Amen. I attribute and I thank God. Amen. But I thank God. I thank Brother Dale and I thank for these brothers here that who submit themselves to the Holy Ghost. Amen. To give us exactly what we need of food and spiritual in due season. Amen.
Right.
Well, I heard that 20 years ago. Well, you need to hear it again.
Because
you don't have grace of God in your life the way you should.
Right.
I know about the grace of God. But you need to learn how to have it on others.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Praise God. And so, saints, that's the reason why the first shall be last and last shall be heard. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. I was not there at the meetings with the prophet. I did not see not one miracle. Never shook Brother Branham's hand. I wish I could have shaken his hand. I wish I could have been there. I would have loved to. But you know what, saints? I really believe that Brother Branham would right now be cheering for those of us, amen, who have come up, amen, and said, those people really believe the message. The message that I preached. The message that I preached. They're really believing what I'm saying. What I said. Amen. Why? Because now that message that he's preached is becoming into manifestation. And God has been doing such a powerful and quick work.
Amen.
In these last few years than he has for the ages of the Christian walk. Amen. God is doing something quick right now. Amen.
Right.
And powerful.
Exactly.
In this hour.
Amen.
Amen. And only those who can be in tune, amen, with that Holy Spirit, amen, are able to tune in and pick it up.
Exactly right.
Amen. Some of us are still looking back 56 years ago.
Yeah.
Amen. But some of us, amen, God's doing quick work in us.
Glory.
And I thank God for that. Amen.
Amen.
Praise
amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
So that's why Jesus said, the first shall be last and the last shall be first.
Amen.
Amen. The last that we have come in, amen, here in this late hour, amen.
Yep.
Those of us who really love God and really want to serve God and really want more of God, amen. We're receiving quick bursts of that word. And it's not just for head knowledge, but it should be to change us, amen, more and more into the image of Christ.
Amen.
It's not for head knowledge. Not to say that I know more than you or none than that, amen. You see, the labor that Brother Dale has had to go through since he came into the message, he's labored a lot in the word. He didn't have these things that we have nowadays, you know. Now we can get a revelation from God quickly if we wanted to. Even if he wants to reveal it to us. Where back then, they used to take hours and maybe days to just find one quote. Now, I'm not saying, that's why Jesus said, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. That's not a slam on Brother Dale.
No. Yeah.
He gets the same grace that I get.
That's right.
Even that I came in this last hour.
Amen.
Amen. It's the same God.
Amen.
It's the same Christ.
Amen.
It's the same grace.
Glory.
It's the same forgiveness.
Amen.
It's the same Holy Spirit.
Amen. That's
right. Amen. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Praise God.
Yep.
So those here in the end time, amen, seem to be getting it quicker than those who have come in at earlier time.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Which is what we see here.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Praise God. Now, we see here that, just real quick, it said that we as the 11th hour workers have been shown that grace. And you know what, saints? The closer we get to the top of the capstone, the more grace we should be showing.
Right.
Remember when we read there in Ezekiel, amen, that capstone comes down crying grace, grace.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
That love, grace, the fullness of Christ,
right.
The fullness of the word.
Amen.
As we're coming up, amen, that grace should be coming closer. Amen.
Glory.
Amen. As we're doing our part, he's doing his.
Right.
We should be more gracious.
Amen.
More than you were 15, 20 years ago. We should be more gracious.
Amen.
Amen. We should have more grace in our life and then also for the life of others.
Amen.
Amen. Because to me, that's like a magnet. Amen. That magnet, that headstone is like a magnet. When you have a magnet and you have an object that can be pulled by a magnet, the closer you get it to the magnet, the quicker it's going to get to it. If it's over here, it's going to take a little bit longer to get to the object, right? But if it's closer to it, it's going to come to it quicker.
Amen.
So as we're scaling up, amen, in the stature of a perfect man, amen, we should be more gracious.
Amen.
We should be reflecting that grace more and more.
Amen.
Amen.
Right,
praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's crying grace, grace. Amen.
Right.
And do you remember, saints, and I'll finish with this. Do you remember the story of Joseph? What a story of grace.
Amen.
But do you know, we all know the story, and I'm not going to go back to it. I'll just be quick. Amen. But do you know that Joseph was the 11th son? If you count all the sons that were born, he was the 11th one that was born. And we know that he was hated by his brethren. They hated him by his older brothers because he had visions, he had dreams, he was spiritual. And he was very loved by his father. And the reason why his father loved him is because he was the first son of Rachel, which his father's was his father's preference. Rachel was, you know, he married both Rachel and Leah, but Rachel was the one he'd worked for such a long time. And here is this first son, and he loved him. And so the other sons, they saw that. And they were jealous. And they ousted him out so much, they even sold him to Egypt. No grace there. And here is this young man, 17, 18, 19 years old, however old he was. Being sold, amen, and had to go through this, and came up, grew up in this other land in Egypt, Joseph is shown grace by Potiphar, because Potiphar takes him in and he works for him and he treats him like his own son, and then later on, he's shown grace by even Pharaoh himself. So. Joseph is now acquainted with grace.
Right. Amen.
He's fully acquainted with grace.
Yes. Amen. That's right.
But the grace, he didn't deserve none of this.
Nope.
He thought that originally when he was thrown into a pit and being sold to these people that were going to buy slaves, he thought that that was the end of his life.
Yeah, right.
But he sees God is raising him up.
Amen.
And it's not just Potiphar showing him grace, and it's not just Pharaoh showing him grace, but it's God showing him grace the whole time. Amen. For a purpose. And so here comes, Joseph gets married and has children, and now he's in a position where he's second in command of Egypt. And a famine comes in the land, and here comes his brothers. And now he realizes, and we all know the story, but when it comes time, when he asks them about their younger brother, Benjamin.
Oh, yeah.
Now we know Benjamin is a representative of the Jews.
Right.
of the 144,000.
That's right.
Amen. So here is Joseph, amen, full of grace. And really, amen, he was fighting the whole time. Because, you know, in his human ways, he wished he could get back. But he knew that he couldn't do that.
Right.
That wasn't the right way.
No, right.
Amen. Probably in his human ways he thought that.
Yep.
So here's Benjamin, amen. And he tells his brothers to bring Benjamin. And when he sees Benjamin,
oh, yeah. Amen.
He something happens to him.
Amen. Yeah.
Because you realize Benjamin was the second child of his mom. Of Joseph's mom. You see, all the other children had different moms. Their moms were Leah and other maidservants that Jacob had children with. Amen. But Benjamin and Joseph were born from the same mother,
right.
Rachel.
Right.
So something happened to him. Something was special about him. And when they sat down and eat and everything, the Bible says that he gave him five times more to Benjamin. Than what he gave to his other brethren.
Right.
Not that he loved them any less.
Nope.
He gave them just the exact same food, everything like that, but he just fed him more. Amen.
Amen.
To Benjamin, because something happened to Benjamin. So he loved Benjamin.
Yep.
We know the story, we see the story, and we realize that at the end when he reveals himself to his brothers, who does he hug first?
Yep. Yeah. Right.
Who does he kiss first?
That's right.
He kisses Benjamin first.
Amen. Right.
Benjamin, that he shows grace to a person that had not even met Joseph.
Right.
Benjamin had not even met Joseph.
Yeah.
And yet he is shown all this grace.
Right.
And then later on we see that he Joseph shows grace to the rest of his brothers. Amen.
Right.
But that's just to show saints that we're supposed to be here in this grace. And this grace, amen, that we are here, amen, should be spilling over. Because the same grace that we receive here in this end time is going to go over to those Jews, the 144,000,
amen,
later on.
Amen.
Praise God. It's the exact same grace.
That's right. Amen.
Benjamin didn't deserve none of those things that he, what did he do?
Yeah. Right.
Same thing with those 144,000. And you know what? That really goes to show that those 100, the first shall be last,
yep. Yep.
And the last shall be first.
That's right. Exactly.
Because really, God was the one who came to Israel, to the children of Israel for first.
Right.
You remember?
Right, amen.
They rejected him.
Right, amen.
And yet, God gives the Gentiles, amen, shows them grace.
Yep.
The first shall be last,
right.
And the last shall be first.
Amen.
And those 144,000, they're going to come in.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And they're going to come in with the same grace and the same Holy Ghost,
amen,
that you and I received,
right,
in it.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
No different.
Nope.
The same pay that you and I got, that's the same pay they'll
right.
get.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, their grace, the grace that even the fifth seal Jew,
uh-huh.
Brother Wade has talked about it. Brother Dallas talked about it. That's grace. Great, unmerited grace.
Exactly right.
My goodness. Do you see that we don't even understand
no.
the grace of God,
right,
that people who said, have your blood be put on us.
Yep.
Amen. Lay your blood on us.
Yep.
We'll be in charge. We'll be responsible for this man, Jesus, dying. Lay that blood on us and on our children.
Mm-hmm.
Yet God shows that,
yes,
those fifth seal Jews that grace.
Yes, sir. Amen.
My. Grace, grace.
Glory.
Wonderful grace.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. So saints, I hope that you see the 11th hour workers in a different light.
Yep.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
It's all about grace. That's what Jesus was trying to bring out during that whole time.
Right.
His mercy and his grace in this hour.
Right.
Amen. And there's other things we could talk about in there, but but this thing, amen, culminates with grace.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. And Brother Branham said, and I'll read this last quote. I appreciate you all being so patient and being so gracious unto me.
Amen.
And I'll be gracious unto you now.
Amen.
I still have to be gracious even if I don't be shown grace, right? Praise God. Brother Branham says here, truth then also, grace is the truth. Then when then why could anyone criticize and say that grace is wrong? That we're saved by works. We are saved by grace. That through faith, not by works, works shows that you have been saved. But what saves you is the grace of God. Grace saves you. Grace is what God does for you. Works is what you do for God. To show appreciation of what God did for you. But by grace are you saved. Do you see, you remember this, that's what religion is, saints. Religion is what man tries to do to get closer to God. But Christianity is what God tries to do to get closer to man. That's what it is. Amen. The grace of God. And in Divine Love in 1956, Brother Branham says, when divine love is projected and comes to its destiny, then sovereign grace takes over. Amen. Same love, the same grace. All in Christ. That's why we need to have the mind of Christ. So that we can think like Christ. And that we're not so quick to criticize and quick to judge. Amen. Let God do the judging. You just show grace. Amen. Amen. Because you know that's what you want others to show to you. Amen. Amen. You love the Lord? Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Let's sing this song. I don't know if we all know it. I don't know if it's in here. It's called Grace. Grace, God's wonderful grace. Do you know that song, Brother Boyd? Grace, grace, God's grace. Wow. 13 in the spiral book. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing that. Amen. Let's just sing about His grace. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Oh, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sins. Listen to the first verse. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Oh, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Oh, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Sin and despair like the sea waves cold threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Oh, it's grace, grace, God.
grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all. All right, let's sing that last verse. Marvelous. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Oh, it's grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Oh, it's grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. One more time, that chorus. Oh, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Oh, it's grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Just give the Lord a clap of praise. Amen. Amen. Just thank Him for His grace and His mercy. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. All hearts and minds clear. Brother Dale, do you have anything? Okay. All right, so we're just going to be dismissed in a word of prayer. If you have anything urgent that you want to make known, just definitely can make it known. Does Sophia have an urgent request? She raised her hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're just going to go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for once again, Lord, having the privilege to open back the pages of Your Word, Lord. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for this grace that You've bestowed unto us. Even in this last darkest hour that we live in, Father God, You still showing grace, Father God. And the door is still open, Lord God, for mercy and grace. But one day it'll be shut, Lord Jesus. And Father God, but all that You have had, Father God, in the mind of, in Your mind before the foundation of the world, Lord, they're gonna come in, Lord God. So I pray that You'd help us, Lord God, that the same grace that we've received, Lord, help us to show unto others, Lord Jesus. Lord, we love You. We thank You for my brothers and sisters having patience to hear Your word. Now reward them for their patience, Lord God, and bless them, Father. Watch over them as they head back to their different places, Lord. And just bring us back home safely and bring us back this Sunday, Lord. Be ready to hear and what You have in store for us through Your word. We love You, Father God. We appreciate You, and we honor Your holy name and ask You these things now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. Amen. May be dismissed.